Good morning, everybody. How you doing? Hope you're well. You know, I put a title on here. So we just finished our series through Jonah, and we're going to go back to Luke, which is where we actually were. Well, probably back in October, and just looking at Jesus and getting to know him and seeing what our relationship looks like in him, and just, what it is to walk with him. I think sometimes we get so caught up in, details or, that we lose the person of Jesus in the midst of it. And since he is who it is, we're coming after, who's come after us and captured us and made us his own. I think it's, he's our goal. He's our goal. So I don't remember where we left off. I was going to pick up at Luke 9. Well, we'll do that today. And then what I'm going to have to do is go back and maybe review what we were doing before. And if I would say this too, if for some reason you all have something that you'd like to look at, I can take that into account. Can't promise anything, but I would take it into account. So we're in Luke 9. Jesus called the 12 together, it says. He gave them power and authority to drive out all demons and to cure diseases. In other words, he bestowed upon them the power of the kingdom of heaven, his own power. Now the Holy Spirit was not indwelling the disciples yet, but he would come upon the disciples. And Jesus is granting them his authority. When Jesus called the 12 together, he gave them power and authority to drive out all demons and cure diseases, and sent them out to proclaim the kingdom of God and to heal the sick, to release people from their bondage. Bondage to sin with regard to the kingdom of God, and bondage to the effects of sin in regard to healing. As I was reflecting in my own quiet time this morning, and Jesus was being accused, and we'll get to this down the road, but Jesus was being accused of healing on the Sabbath and driving out demons, and he was accused of being opposed to God for breaking the Sabbath and driving out demons by demons, by Beelzebub. And I'm thinking to myself, what a hard heart to watch a person who's been tormented and in bondage be freed from that bondage and be angry about it. And then I thought to myself, okay, we just came through Jonah. God is saying to Jonah, go to Nineveh. They're in bondage. By the end of the book, we see that God's compassion was laid out, was being showered on Nineveh because there were people who didn't know their left hand from their right. They were utterly ignorant. And he had their sin rise up to them, and it filled his nostrils with this acrid, foul odor. And before he would render judgment, he said, give them an opportunity. Release them from their bondage. And what was Jonah's response? And did his heart ever change? No. As much as he was a foreshadowing to Jesus, he was also a foreshadowing of the Pharisees, who would be angry with Jesus for releasing people from their bondage. So when Jesus was called the 12 together, he gave them the power and authority to drive out demons and to cure diseases, to cast out those things that were evil and wicked and perilous, aimed at keeping people in bondage and breaking their souls. And then their body, the effects of sin itself, and the brokenness and the pain and the suffering. Then he told them, take nothing for the journey. Boom, bong. Take nothing for the journey. This is where I think it gets real for us. As we trod this earth, and we live amongst the people in the world, and we lean into God for both, in both, you know, recognizing his sovereignty, his ruling over all these things, then his providence, that he is a good provider who does never leaves us wanting, Psalm 23. How often am I scrambling to make sure I'm taking something for the journey? And what is that thing I would take? What are the things that I would find my security in other than God, or using my intellect instead of relying on the Spirit of God? Not that my intellect's, you know, there's nothing wrong with my intellect. It's a gift given to me. But my intellect alone is not going to accomplish the power of the kingdom of heaven and the transformation of lives. That's why Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians, he said, I didn't come to you with huge intelligence and eloquence of speech or, rhetoric to try to convince you that I'm right. He said, I came with the foolishness of the cross. Nothing but Jesus and Jesus crucified. In other words, amongst you, I took nothing for the journey. I didn't bring any extra baggage. I didn't try to utilize something other than what God had granted me to utilize, and the authorities given me to do it. With a heart of compassion that sees the peril that one is in and has a deep desire to bring comfort, 2 Corinthians 1. Because we've received comfort and release from the bondage of sin and the fear of punishment and condemnation, 1 John 4, I now want to bring that to you. That should be my heart. Wasn't that Jonah's sin? And Jesus is saying, no, when I have captured you and I have possessed you and I'm indwelling you and I've given you authority, Matthew 28, I'm sending you out as sheep among wolves, but not without power and authority to speak truth and to break the chains of bondage, of sin and judgment and condemnation, revealing the heart of the Father, who's merciful and gracious, kind, patient, and tolerant, hoping that his kindness will bring you to repentance. Because as the Old Testament prophet would say, God does not, he says, I do not delight in the death of the wicked, but all men would turn and repent and be saved. First Peter repeats that exact phrase. When he said, God's not slow, as some understand, slowness. But in fact, his slowness is patience, wanting all men to come to faith. What are we taking for the journey? Well, are we willing to just take Christ and Christ crucified? Will we lean into the Holy Spirit? Will we equip ourselves with the Word of God, allowing the Spirit to translate it, in essence, to the ears of the one who hears and the heart of the one who so desperately needs it? As the Father sent him, John 3, he sends his disciples here in Luke 9 and again in Luke 10 with authority. And then in Matthew 28, he says to all of us, or in John 17, he says, now as my Father has sent me, now I send you. Matthew 28 tells us then what we are to go do when we go to make disciples, to teach them about Jesus and love for him and obedience that springs from that love and bring them into the fold. Then we see in Acts 1 and 2, God then dispensing upon us everything we need, the authority and the power to do the things he's called us to do, the Holy Spirit. What are we taking for the journey? He's saying, don't rely on the things you would rely on. Romans 12 would say, no longer conform to the patterns or the ways or the wisdom or the philosophy of this world, but instead be transformed in renewing of your mind so you can test and prove what God's good will is, his perfect and pleasing will, and accomplish the good works prepared in advance for you to do as you're being created in Christ Jesus through the sanctifying power of the Holy Spirit. That's not rhetoric. That's truth. It's a truth we must lean into. We must rely on. And we must allow to propel us in our journey. So he says, when he called the 12 together, he gave them power and authority to drive out demons and cure diseases and sent them out to proclaim the kingdom of God. It's upon you. The Messiah is here. The way of salvation is before you and presented to you. And evidence of the kingdom of God being among you, heal the sick. Touch the hearts and minds, the souls and the bodies of these people. Break their bondage as an expression of the bondage being broken of sin. So the idea of revealing the gospel for what it would be and what it is, there's this demonstration of healing that is the earthly expression of the kingdom truth. That as we break the bondage of the consequence of sin on your body, at least for this temporal moment, because that doesn't last forever. We all will die, and the effects of sin will kill our body at some point. That is a reflection of the truth of what happens to the soul. Broken, bondage, chains falling. Sin forgiven, placed in the kingdom, born again. This is what we declare. And what do we need to be able to declare it? Christ and Christ crucified, and nothing else. Take nothing else for the journey. That doesn't mean don't have conversations. It doesn't mean don't have an understanding of the circumstances that surround and the sound biblical understanding of biblical theology and doctrine. No, that's all well and good. But never, ever, ever let that be the crux of the conversation, the argument to be won. No. Let our manner and way reflect the mercy and grace of God, the power of the Holy Spirit emanating from us by his fruits, that our acts of service would be a reflection of the very character and nature of Jesus in simplicity and modesty and humility, even poverty. And then our love for one another by being gracious and kind and loving and responsible and accountable, but doing so in such a way as to cover one another with deep and sincere love. Going to one another with humility and a desire to restore, to do so gently and respectfully, that's evidence of the reality of the miracle of our hearts being transformed and changed, being wed together by the Holy Spirit. The simplicity of life done together and a deep desire for our brothers and sisters to be blessed and have their bondage broken. By what? By the power of the kingdom of heaven, for the healing of the soul. Take nothing else for the journey. So, we'll finish this up. When Jesus had called the 12 together, he gave them power and authority to drive out all demons and cure diseases, and he sent them out to proclaim the kingdom of God and heal the sick. He told them, take nothing for the journey. No staff, no bag, no bread, no money, no extra shirt. I want you to rely utterly on God and recognize the power that I've given you, the authority and the message, and to realize that everything you need, my Father will provide for you. We'll see this later in Luke chapter 12. He goes on to say, whatever house you enter, stay there until you leave that town. God goes before us. There are hearts prepared and ready. That's the whole point of evangelism. Our Father is working on us and then giving us the privilege of joining him in the work of bringing together the body of Christ, to assembling the bride, to bringing brothers and sisters into the kingdom. We get the privilege of being part of that process. And our Father goes before us. The Spirit of God goes before us. And he's prepared a place and a people. Now, there's a very interesting point here that goes with that. Look what it says. It says, whatever house you enter, stay there until you leave that town. If people do not welcome you, leave their town and shake the dust off your feet as a testimony against them. Again, God has prepared the way. What does the word of God do? Well, now Isaiah says that the word goes out and it accomplishes exactly what God intends it to accomplish, and it never fails. And we automatically think in our naivete and our desire, desire for the best, that means salvation for the one. The word goes out and accomplishes exactly what God intends, and it should be a blessing to the one who receives it. Well, that's true. And it will do that. But unfortunately, it also seals the deal for those who reject it. And there'll be those who, what God has prepared for us is to be in a place where there's a recognition that they will not receive it. and the grief that would bring our hearts, the prayers that it should bring up and out of us. And he says, if they won't receive you, leave the town and shake the dust off your feet as a testimony against them. In other words, your rejection of the kingdom of heaven, the person of Christ, and the mercy of God and his grace. I can't allow that to stick to me. I grieve for you. I want more for you. But I can't take that with me. One, I can't let it overwhelm me as a failure. No, this is between them and God. I'm merely the messenger in that regard. So that dust of the sense of failure or guilt or what did I do wrong? No. Wipe it off. And the other is, do not take with you any inclination that what we're experiencing and what it is we're communicating and what it is we hope for is not true. And the rejection of the mercy of God is a grievous thing. Wipe off the dust as a testimony against their rejection. Look at, so they set out and went from village to village, proclaiming the good news and healing people everywhere. They went out, and they did. And they took nothing with them for the journey. They went into a place, and where they found peace, they resided. And they remained. And they allowed the peace of Christ to descend upon that home, where they were rejected and not welcome. They had to wipe the dust off and go to the next town. Okay. Either you're not ready yet, and we'll come back another time, where the Father will deal with you according to his mercy and wisdom. And the testimony is that what you've done is wrong, and you're missing the boat, and you're holding our Father's love and mercy and grace in contempt. As we go about today, may we be careful what we take for the journey. May we abide in Christ in such a way as to allow his authority that we've been given, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Now I say to you, go and make disciples. But that authority is not mine. That authority is his. It's been, in essence, to some degree, delegated to me. And I'm utterly responsible for it. Read Matthew 25 and then 28. And what I do with it then is an expression of my love and devotion to my master. Trusting him with everything, you know, that he has given me everything I need to accomplish this thing. And that my reliance would be on him. My dependence would be on him. The power and the persuasion with which I go is that of having myself, I myself, experiencing his mercy and grace, forgiveness, restoration. And that's what our Father wants for the one to whom I speak, and to do so with gentleness and respect, 1 Peter 3. So, today, may we rely on Jesus. May we walk with him. May we take nothing else for the journey except Christ and Christ crucified. And let that be the testimony of God's work in me, breaking my bondage, his desire for you, that your bondage would be broken. Amen.